This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World with Professor Richard Epstein discussing the Supreme Court and immigration. Now, the Supreme Court 5-4 decision, Justice Roberts writing the majority, sustained the Biden administration's opinion that it is the discretion of the president to resolve who can and who cannot come into the United States pending presentation before immigration courts in future. Now we turn to a decision made 5-4 also, but this time Justice Roberts joining Justice Kavanaugh in rejecting the Biden administration's decision. And if I understand it, this will go to the Supreme Court later this year because there's one court of appeals, the fifth, that's rejected the administration. There's another court of appeals, that's the sixth, that sustained the administration. So only the Supreme Court can resolve these conflicts. However, it turns on specific language, and I'm going to the fifth Court of U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals cited the administration using this language. I read from the National Review Online reporting. The appeals court panel, the fifth now, noted that the administration, quote, provides that the guidelines are essential to advancing this administration's stated commitment to advancing equity for all, including people of color and others who have been historically underserved, marginalized, and adversely affected by persistent poverty and inequality, end quote. The Supreme Court justices who rejected this did not comment. We can expect there'll be much to say about this in oral arguments later and in written opinion in 2023. Professor, these are two courts, the fifth saying no, the sixth saying yes. What do you discern about the Biden administration's ambitions here and their prospects for pushing through this new interpretation?
I think it's important to understand what the policy was, aside from the rhetoric about marginalized communities and underserved individuals. But what happens is there's a constant difficulty in dealing with the issue of prosecutorial discretion. A budget that any office has is limited, and they have to decide both which cases they take in any given class and which class of cases they want to deal with. And so what the original policy was to say, we're going after two classes first. One of those is really serious crimes where we want to get people out of the country. And the other is recent immigrants, because removing them from the country doesn't have the disruptive effect of removing people who have more established connections to the United States. And just looking at that thing in the abstract, you can't say that it's crazy. In fact, you say it's got a core of sense. The difficulty with it is a precautorial situation. It's a very hot debate whether or not administrative cost and scarcity of resources allows you to exempt from the enforcement of the law entire categories of cases that are called criminal that don't fall into these two cases. And many people say you can't have that wholesale stuff. And so you have to at least put those cases into the hopper. And if you did so, it would probably change resource allocation by 10% or something like that. Because the priorities, even if not absolute, could still be very material for the two cases you have. What the Biden administration did is it tied into this the kind of rhetoric which they constantly use in politics, which is to make this a matter of race, gender, sex, whatever it turns out to be. And by and large, the immigration law does not tolerate those kinds of considerations. So by adding in its usual rhetorical flourishes, what they did is they announced that they are going to engage in an enforcement policy which will take these things into place, arguably, so that if there's somebody from a disadvantaged group and somebody from a non-disadvantaged group, what they will do is look more favorably on the person from the disadvantaged group. And that's just flatly illegal under the statute. So what they did, instead of talking about class one and class two and giving them preferences, they broke both of these classes into two halves. One of the people whom they think have been underserved and neglected, and the other is everybody else. And they want to treat those things differently. And this is a terrible precedent, because you don't want the entire immigration law to be turned on these racial classifications. And so what happened is the Fifth Circuit said, you can't do it. Well, who knows what is going to happen on this, because this is just another version of the sort of affirmative action debate that takes place in other circumstances. And I think the general opinion that most people have is they're more willing to think about affirmative action and special benefit treatments when it comes to the distribution of various kinds of benefits, whether it be housing subsidies or preferential admissions into university. There's a debate over that, but you certainly know. But there's almost nobody, I think, who says, oh, we have a disadvantaged person who's committed murder. What we ought to do is to commute that sentence above and beyond what we would do from a similarly situated person who turns out to be not disadvantaged. And so I think they just led with their chin when it came out to doing this stuff. And that they would only understand that there are certain circumstances in which they don't have to issue their general broadside condemnation of racism in order to get something going. They would be able to get policies which have a certain core of good sense to them. As I mentioned before, it's not that this policy is bulletproof. There are difficulties with it, but it's not something where you can say, oh, it's just irrational. They're getting things upside down. This has no relationship to the silliness associated with their refusal to deal with the Mexicans with respect to the detention of people who are seeking asylum or entry into the United States. So on this thing, they shouldn't do this. And it's just a harebrained lack of judgment on the Biden administration to use that rhetorical flow.
Final question. We have a minute, Professor. My understanding from another article you've written about immigration is that the Romans used the term res sancti, in other words, the common grounds, and everyone is responsible for maintaining them, walls, gates. This is 2,000 years ago. That means the correct procedure to go ahead with immigration is Congress, correct? Congress is the one who we're asking the courts to resolve something that it's the responsibility of the representatives of the people. We have a minute.
Yes. Well, I think, A, it does indicate you want to point to Congress, and it can delegate authority to the president. But it also says that when you're dealing with this, res sancti means you can't have a policy of open immigration. You keep the walls up because you have to have some ability to figure out who's a member of your polity. This has always been an issue from the earliest times, and I'm in favor of fairly ample immigration policy. But it turns out you have to have some choice of who comes in. And if you have open borders, the people who come in may well do you a great deal of harm. And so what you have to do is to be able to increase the levels of legal immigration and try to create categories for asylum for people who bring entrepreneurial excellence into the United States, family relations, all that stuff. But you've got to do it through Congress. What you cannot do it is simply open up the borders and let whoever comes in stay. And that's what the Biden administration is about, alas.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas and speaking at the Libertarian Podcast. I recommend it. This is John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.